Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me in the second part of our show today, and I wanted to let you know you can always send your comments and questions, anything you want to let me know about, at my email address, info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org, and I'll talk to you on the show if you send me a message in the next half hour, or I will correspond with you anytime during the week. So there you go, info@realmeals.org. And I have a website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. It is a relatively new nonprofit. I invite you all to visit and like us on Facebook. And there are so many recipes up there. Some people often ask me, Karen, what do you eat? I'm having, they'll say they're new vegan or they're just trying to eat healthier and they want to know what I eat. And responsibleeatingandliving.com is the best way to find out what I'm eating, because I'm putting up recipes for what I am eating all the time with photographs, and there's a lot of great food up there. And the show is It's All About Food, and we're talking about food. Okay, so I have a very special guest now. And this is 15-year-old Jessie Boss. And she's a special friend of mine, and I'm so happy that she decided several years ago to make this life-empowering choice to go vegan. And she's visiting here in visiting me here in New York, and she's from San Francisco. So welcome to It's All About Food, Jessie.
Hi.
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 So, okay, the first thing I want to know before we get into lots of other things is, when did you decide to go vegan and why?
I've been vegan since May 29th. 2010.
How old are you?
I'm 15.
Okay, so you were 14
at
the time?
I was 14 then, yeah.
Right. That's an important day. You remember it exactly.
Well, I remember it because it's the day after my prom, which I memorized the date for. But.
That's a good day. Okay, so what happened?
Well, I've been vegetarian since I was about 9.
Wow, okay.
And I was really getting more involved in, like, animal rights and activism, and I was feeling kind of hypocritical because I'm saying people should go vegan and stop supporting factory farms, but I wasn't really doing that.
Mm-hmm. It's hard for a lot of people, especially with dairy and butter and cheese and ice cream, and many people think that we're not killing animals when we eat dairy. And yet, unfortunately, today with factory farming, I think the dairy cows have it worse than most other animals, and they're all pretty horrific these days. But some things we know is that you can't get milk unless you make a mammal pregnant. And that means there's a baby involved, and many of those baby calves become veal calves, and they're slaughtered at a very early age. And then dairy cows also don't live very long. They don't live a natural life because they're made to give lots and lots of milk. So, good for you. That was really brave and courageous.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet some of your friends still give you a hard time about it.
Yeah, they do. I still get a lot of, but what about cheese, Jessie? Don't you want to eat cheese?
And what do you tell them?
Not really anymore.
What are some of the things that you like to eat as a teenager? Because I know a lot of parents don't know what to feed their kids.
Yeah, my mom's pretty good with, like, vegan food and everything. She's actually vegan, too, but I was vegan first.
Mm-hmm. I love that when parents learn from their children.
So we make a lot of, like, beans and things like that. And we have a lot of, like, veggie dogs, veggie burgers sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of quick, microwavable, normal teenage food.
Right. Well, teenagers are really particular about what they want to eat, and they don't like to eat a very varied diet, and they turn their nose up to vegetables a lot. Now, do you know as a vegan that you need to eat your vegetables?
Yes.
Because you could be a vegan and just eat potato chips and french fries and drink Coke. Are you one of those kind of vegans?
I try very hard not to be. I'm sure sometimes I am. I'm still a 15-year-old.
Right. Okay, so you've been with me for a few days, and what are some of the things that we've been having that you enjoyed
We've been making lots of food from Karen's Real Meals website, and we made buckwheat pancakes that were really, really good with this fruit syrup stuff.
Right, we made a compote from strawberries, apples, and bananas. That was good.
Yeah, and the first day I was here, like half an hour after I walked through the door, we're making veggie black bean burgers.
Right.
Or pinto bean burgers.
They were pinto bean, but you could use the same recipe for any bean. And were they easy to make?
Yeah, it was really, really fun. We even made, like, the buns and everything. It was
That's
really
right.
Cool.
We made gluten-free sesame buns, and all of these recipes are on the website. It's easy. I had fun because, you know, I make these things up and I write them down, and I have no idea if people are using them or how easy they are to make. So I kind of used you, Jesse, as an experiment to see, and you did a great job.
Yeah. I love Karen's kitchen. She's got so many different kinds of everything. Like, you look in her fridge, and she has billions upon billions of things of different kinds of flour.
That's right.
Like, every kind of flour you can imagine, and I know she knows exactly what to do with all of them.
One of the things is I keep a lot of things in the refrigerator that most people keep in the cupboard. So all of my flours are refrigerated, because what most people don't realize is once the grain is cracked and milled, if it's not refrigerated, it can go rancid. And not only will it not taste good, but it's not really good for you. So all of my flours I keep in glass jars because I don't really like plastic. And I keep them in the refrigerator, and I do have a lot of them. So do you remember some of the flours that you saw?
Buckwheat flour.
Right.
Potato flour. Garbanzo flour.
Yep.
Rice flour.
Right.
Stuff like that.
There's white rice flour and there's brown rice flour. It's really fun when you, I like to say, lift the veil and see the world outside of a hamburger and french fries. And what I decided to do, in addition to being vegan recently, is to examine the gluten-free world, the world without wheat, because a lot of people are challenged with not eating wheat. And I want people to know that you can be vegan and you can also be gluten-free. And I've discovered so many flours, and they all have their own flavor, they have their own textures, and I find it really fun, but it does take a lot of space up in your refrigerator.
Karen, did you know you're not the only gluten-free vegan I know?
No. How many do you know?
Two others.
Wow.
Yeah. My friend Sadie's mother, who has been vegan for like 20 years and has celiac, so she's definitely vegan and gluten-free.
Hmm. What are some of the things that she makes?
I know that, I'm not entirely sure. I know that they make, like, vegan gluten-free pancakes and all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's not hard. And I think once you get into it, you find it's easy and it's really good for you. Okay, so one of the things that we use, we didn't make it, but I topped the burritos with it, and that was the cashew cheese.
That was really, 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 really good.
Really good. Yeah, we have a recipe for that, too, and we like to make batches of it up and then mold them in blocks and freeze a lot of them because it freezes really well, and then you can use a little bit at a time whenever you need them. But
She's got in her freezer, and she pulls it out and grades it just like any other kind of cheese, and it just works.
It just works, and it melts. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So, you know, I just want the world to know, just like a Joy and Bart in the last half hour, that it's not hard. It's just kind of a shift in perspective, and there is some work that you have to do. You do have to make things in the kitchen, but I find it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I was having a lot of fun cooking with Karen.
Cooking with Karen. We should make a show like that sometime.
Yeah. I seriously think one of the hardest parts is just explaining to other people.
Yeah.
It's not like different foods. It's the hardest part of explaining to other people how it works and how they don't have to feel bad about not having food for me and I'm used to this sort of thing. And
okay, so we spent one day in New York City yesterday, and then we have later today, but we did stop at a couple of vegan restaurants, well, Monday night and Tuesday. So what did you think of Coco Vee?
That place is amazing.
So Coco V is a vegan chocolate and wine bar, and it's owned by the owners of Blossom Restaurant here in New York City, and they have several restaurants, Blossom Cafe on the Upper West Side and V-Note on the Upper East Side and Blossom Restaurant in Chelsea and Coco V. And
You should go there. They have really amazing vegan hot chocolate. Everything there is vegan, I believe.
Yep.
They have all these beautiful little candies with, like, all sorts of different flavors. And really, really, really good cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chocolate vegan cheesecake one that I had that was really good.
Well, what's interesting, the cupcakes aren't very big. And I don't think they should be big because they are made with quality ingredients that have so much flavor. A lot of times people eat a bag of cookies or a big piece of cake because they're not really satisfied because it's not made with quality ingredients. Yeah,
but at this place, like with the hot chocolate and the cupcake, you were stuffed. You could not eat any more. It was so, so good.
So I think my point is that it's important to eat healthy most of the time, which is lots of green foods, which are my favorite, and lots of beans and whole grains and vegetables and fresh fruit. And you should fill up your day mostly with organic, locally grown, healthy plant foods. And then when you want to, you can have a treat. But those treats, too, should be made with quality ingredients. A lot of the cookies and cakes today that people buy in the stores or even in restaurants are made with a lot of manufactured, synthesized things that are really dangerous, like high fructose corn syrup. That's in so many. Do you ever read the labels of some of these treats?
I read the labels of almost everything that's packaged that I eat.
Yeah, hydrogenated oil, high fructose corn syrup, lots of salt, lots of strange chemical-sounding words. Those things, if you don't know what they are,
yeah, I remember I was reading the back of a Diet Coke or something, and I'm like, okay, that one gives you cancer, that one's bad for you, that one gives you cancer too.
Yeah. So, teenagers, a lot of them don't really care about food. Do you have any ideas about how you get some of your friends or some of the other teens interested? Because personally, I want to know, how do we get the younger generation to be more interested in what they put in their bodies?
Don't tell them it's vegan before you feed it to them.
That's a very good one. Make it delicious and don't tell them.
Like, a lot of my friends say a lot of not so nice things about the food I eat just because they don't know that it's good.
Well, here's a funny thing. Some people say, I don't want to eat it if it's vegan, right?
Yes.
And yet, can we just take a minute and list all the foods that people eat that are vegan? Every fruit. Apples, oranges.
A lot of bread and even a lot of packaged things they don't realize are vegan.
Are vegan, sure. People eat vegan food all the time, so there's really nothing to be afraid of. Some people roll their nose up at when we talk about soy, because soy is in tofu and a lot of really nutritious vegan foods.
Yeah.
And yet soy is in many, many burgers and animal foods.
Yeah, and sometimes I explain to people, like, they're asking me, well, do you really want to eat all that processed soy? And it's like, do you know what the cows that you eat are eating?
Really good. And I think people don't realize that most of the soybeans grown in this country, not only are they not organic, they are genetically modified, which is scary. But most of the soybeans, I think over 80%, are fed to animals, not people. Most of the soy grown in this country is for animals, and so animals eat the soy, and they're not even meant to eat the soy. Cows are meant to eat green grass, and we feed them all kinds of things, which make them very sick. And then people eat a cow or other animals and ultimately get what those animals were eating.
So I sometimes say that I'd rather process a soybean rather than feed it through a cow than process the cow.
I love that. I'm going to steal that one from you. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. But there's a very highly processed soy product, isolated soy protein, and people use it in everything, not just vegan foods, because it's something that really can do a lot of different things. You can have a really nice texture and flavor it up the way you want, and it's in so many different foods. Okay, so we also ate at an Asian restaurant yesterday down in Chinatown. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
What's fun about that restaurant for me is, well, everything's vegan, and they use a lot of meat analogs, chicken and beef, and they're made from wheat gluten and soy products, and it's really amazing what they can do with all of those different foods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we haven't had a chance to get your favorite food yet.
So my goal this trip was I want vegan New York pizza, which we have not yet had, and I'm told we are going to get today.
That's absolutely correct. New York is definitely known for their pizza, and there are many places today that make dairy-free pizzas. And what's funny is in Italy, where I think pizza started, many of the pizzas don't even have cheese. There's a lot of focaccia, which is like the crust and different toppings, and yet so many people equate real pizza with cheese, and it's not true. It's really just a bread with a great sauce and lots of other things that you might want to put on it.
Yeah, the first day I was here, before we even met up with Karen, we were walking, me and my dad were walking through Chelsea Market, and we just stopped at this little Italian place and got sort of a pizza without cheese and these really awesome little potato things, and that was one of the best, probably like one of the best not pizza things I've ever had.
Okay, you mean
not pizza, not
like a
vegan pizza,
maybe more like a focaccia.
Yeah.
All you need is a really good crust. And again, I want to bring you back to responsibleeatingandliving.com, our website, where we have one of my favorite things, which is a vegan gluten-free pizza, and we make the crust from garbanzo flour. I can't say enough about garbanzo flour, chickpea flour. It is so versatile, and you know, people have been using it probably for thousands of years, and yet, you know, in the United States, we're so clueless when it comes to the variety of food. It's crazy what you can do with it. Okay, were there any particular films or brochures when you first decided to go vegan that really did it for you?
Not really. I mostly knew everything. It was more like giving those films and brochures out and informing people that changed my mind, not the material itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it just kind of came naturally to you.
Yeah, and it's been pretty easy to be vegan since then.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the major struggle that other people seem to think it is.
Right. That's important. Can you say that again?
It's not a major struggle to be vegan. It's really easy, and you really don't even miss animal products after a week or so.
Right. Now, did you feel physically any different when you stopped eating dairy foods, or do you remember?
I remember it was really, really busy right then, so I don't remember, like, a change.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, even though I'm vegan, I don't think I eat nearly as healthy as someone like Karen does.
The culinary cop.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know what junk food is vegan, what brand name junk food, and I eat that, so.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm always trying to find ways for kids and adults to eat more dark leafy green vegetables. And I have to do a little dark leafy green commercial here because, you know, I've been talking about all these other different foods. But I have to remind you all that we are meant to eat primarily dark leafy green vegetables and maybe some fruits and berries. And we get all those powerful immune system boosting nutrients, and when you're feeling like you need some energy and you're feeling a little cloudy in the head, some people would naturally grab a candy bar or a cup of coffee, and what you really need to grab is a big salad or some steamed kale or what I like best, which is a green juice, because that's the stuff Jessie's wrinkling her nose up right now. But that's the stuff that really feeds our brain, feeds our body, gives us energy. How are we going to get people to eat more green foods?
Well, when you told my mom all that, she decided we would have kale every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you're doing a pretty good job.
Right. But she puts it in a blended salad, right? In a
smoothie?
She's
put it in a salad. She's put it in fruit smoothies. She's put it in tofu scramble. She's put it in banana bread cupcakes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't taste it. Or you kind of do.
You kind of do. She has put kale into every place she can find, she can fit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. You've got a good mom.
Yeah.
You can do lots of things with dark leafy green vegetables, and some are more appetizing than others, especially if you're not used to it. I know a lot of people are eating kale chips these days, dehydrated kale seasoned with some spices and a little sea salt or soy sauce.
Yeah, I've had those. I definitely prefer fresh kale to those.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite sure why. I like the texture, but a lot of times the seasonings aren't super, super great.
Right. Hmm. Well.
They're really fun to make, though.
What's that, the kale chips?
Yeah, the kale chips.
How do
really
you make them?
Well, I've only ever made them at other people's houses because we don't have a dehydrator.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we just pulled the kale into little bits, mixed it in some spices, and put it in a dehydrator for a while.
Right. You can do that in an oven at a very low temperature, too. Some ovens, I'm embarrassed to say, I recently discovered the oven that I have had for about 10 years has a dehydrator option on it, and I didn't even know. But some ovens are able to operate at very low temperatures. So get to know your oven, get to know your kitchen, and eat greens. Eat your greens. Okay, so we have a few minutes left, and I'm wondering what it is. Do you have any other vegan stories that you want to share? When you go to a party or something, are there things that you bring?
Dessert. Vegan dessert,
mm-hmm,
that I know is good.
Yeah, what do you make?
I remember I used to say, oh no, vegan dessert doesn't taste good. I don't like it. And then I actually started making my own vegan desserts and just being vegan. And I like to bring brownies because they're really awesome and chocolatey, and it's,
mm-hmm,
really hard to make chocolate things not taste good.
That's true. If you use a good chocolate, it's hard to make chocolate not taste good.
Or cookies are good, too. Just stuff you can spread out between everybody, and they almost always get eaten,
mm-hmm,
even though they're vegan and scary.
You know, that's a funny thing, that some people think vegan food is scary, and I think, unfortunately, it's because they don't know about the food that they're eating. Because if we were able to tour a factory farm, if we were able to tour a hen farm, a hen laying facility, do you know what those things look like? I mean, they're really scary.
I've seen pictures. Yeah, they're definitely scarier than any vegan food I make.
That's right. So the hens, the majority, 99.9% of the egg laying hens today are either crammed 5 to a tiny cage, or they're crammed on the floor of a warehouse, and they never go outside. And even the eggs that are labeled free range, it's not regulated, and those chickens, for the most part, are not happily frolicking around outside in a barnyard.
I remember one of the most, like, informative leaflets I ever handed out.
Yeah.
It was just a standard 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and it said on it that if you unfolded it, that was how much a chicken would have,
right,
how much space.
So when you show that to some people, what are their reactions?
Well, I was just, like, handing it out outside of a grocery store, and a lot of people would just take it and walk away. No one stopped to have a conversation, which,
right,
was kind of disappointing.
Probably they threw it out often.
But
yeah,
a lot of people I know will say, oh, no, I don't want to look at those. I don't want to have to see that.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? A lot of people kind of know, but they don't want to know. I don't get that. I don't get it because, gosh, what a tremendous impact we can all do every meal if we choose to eat plant-based foods versus animal foods.
Yeah, and information really is everything. I have a friend who I don't think ever assumed he would be a vegetarian until he saw one of those factory farming videos.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't eaten meat ever since, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, good for him. Well, but then there are other people that say, I don't want to know, because they know, but they don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, I always encourage people that are spreading the information to be compassionate and loving and gentle, because an angry vegan that is screaming at people is not going to get anywhere. But we can be persistent, persistently sharing our cookies and sharing the information.
I know one angle I used was environmental.
Yeah.
Because I guess it seems like it's less of an attack on people if you're saying this is better for the environment. Because a lot of people take food really, really personally and feel like I'm somehow insulting or challenging them by just even just being vegan.
Okay. I'm Jesse, I'm really impressed with what you're doing and all of the things that you know about health and the environment and animals, and just thank you for talking to me today. This was really a pleasure, and I hope a lot of teenagers get to be more like you.
Yeah.
This would be a great world.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go get some vegan pizza.
Yay!
I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Join me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Lots of great recipes there. And send me an email at info@realmeals.org. Have a yummy, delicious week. Bye.